Well, welcome to The Word is the Way to Life, also known as The Pastor's Thoughts. And we're grateful that you tune in. You know, we've been doing a little survey of Psalms, which we started at Psalm 51 all the way up to Psalm 100. And I was thinking, I don't know what I want to do from here on. And then I realized that, my goodness gracious, I got a lot of material right here in front of me in a book with 66 different books in it. I said, wow, that's what I think I need to do. So last week we did an overview of Genesis. And then I think what we'll do is we'll do one from the Old Testament, which we did last week, Genesis, and then we'll go to the New Testament this week, which is Matthew, and then back to the next one in the Old and back and forth. And I hope and pray that you get something out of it, because I know that we're pretty much a biblical literate society anymore. I don't know why, but what we'd like to do is at least whet your appetite that for you to get into the Word of God for yourself. Now, Matthew is one of the stories about Jesus. Matthew also was one of Jesus' 12 disciples. And the key events take place in 37 BC when Herod the Great began to rule. And then in right around between 6 and 5 BC, Jesus is born. Now, we say right around because we're not really too sure of these dates, but it was B.C. And then Jesus' family escaped to Egypt in 4 B.C., and Herod the Great died in 4 to 3 B.C. Now, Jesus' family, when they returned back to Nazareth, it was A.D., or after Christ, or Common Era, as they do now. Because, see, when Jesus was born, that's when our calendar became a calendar. So, a little bit later, when they got back to Nazareth, Jesus visited the temple as a boy in Tiberias. Caesar became emperor. Pontius Pilate was appointed governor. And Jesus began his ministry in A.D. 28. Jesus chooses the 12 disciples right around A.D. 29. He feeds the 5,000 around 30 A.D. And then Jesus is crucified and rises again also during this time, which saddles the first used in Europe of A.D. 1, which was the beginning of the calendar that we use today. Now, Judea and Judah became a Roman province. And they had a lot of zealots in Judea, and they rebelled against Rome. And the Apostle Paul, as you know, was converted on the road to Damascus around A.D. 35. Well, see, almost every event in Jesus' life happened in the area that is now present-day Israel and Jordan. So I want to set the stage, because Matthew probably wrote this book between A.D. 60 and 65, as Christianity was spreading rapidly and churches were springing up across the Roman Empire. And there was a need for them to have a book then to introduce them to the life of Jesus and his ministry. Now, Matthew connects with Malachi, which is the last book in the Old Testament, and it was telling of the coming Messiah, the Son of God. And then Matthew told of a Messiah who had come. In fact, Matthew quotes the Old Testament 53 times and refers to it another 76 times, more than any other of the New Testament book. So in order to prove it to his readers that Jesus that he followed was indeed the Messiah, foretold by the ancient prophets. So think about some of the things that are in the book of Matthew. And the summary's a little bit like a sermon without it being a sermon, but I want us to think about some things. There's a knock at the door, and you open it, and you find a royal messenger. The king is coming to your home tomorrow, he announces, and he wants to visit you and get to know you. And then the messenger gives you a book. Here, you can read all about the king in this book, he says. It'll help you to know him better when he comes. Well, when the messenger leaves, you anxiously open the book and you want to read every word again and again, and you want to know all about the King before he comes to see you. King Jesus, Messiah, has come. The book of Matthew tells us that. And he wants you to know. He wants to love you and bring you into his royal kingdom of heaven. Now, you may live with him forever and ever. If you read the book, you'll find out how to do that. It'll help you then to get to know him better. Matthew, the author of this book, was once a Jewish tax collector named Levi. And he had been hired by the Romans who controlled the land to collect taxes from his own people. And Matthew soon learned that he could make a lot of money doing that, and also a lot of enemies. With the authority of the Roman government behind him, it was easy to charge higher taxes than was required and just pocket the difference. Oh yeah, Matthew was rich, but he was spiritually bankrupt. Crowds flocked to his booth each day to pay their taxes. But he was probably one of the most loneliest men in all of Israel. Busy at his work one day, he looked up to see Jesus. "Follow me," Jesus told him. Incredibly, Matthew did just that. He left his work, he left his money, he left his position with the Romans and all the prestige that he had to become one who later was known as one of the 12 disciples or the 12 apostles. The apostle simply means once they were disciples, now they go out and teach. Well, the only thing that could have motivated him to do such a thing, he saw that the value of the person that he followed was far greater than all the wealth of what he had left behind. And he saw in that person who was willing to love and accept him. He saw a man who cared enough to help him and change. He saw God, and he knew it was God. Now, there was no turning back. Matthew had to tell others about this Jesus. So he wrote this book that we're doing an overview, probably to be distributed throughout the land, but also to be sent across the Roman Empire to the churches that the Apostle Paul had started. Matthew had a royal message for anyone who was willing to listen. The King, Messiah, has come. And he was writing the Messiah's story from his birth in Bethlehem to his death and resurrection. Wow, what a wonderful, wonderful book. And let me tell you what all you'll find in this book. You'll find criticism, you know. See, that's one of the things about the Bible. There is so many things in there that we deal with day in and day out, and it gives you a understanding. And then you also read in here about discipleship. Oh, yeah, and also about doubt. You know, you remember doubting Thomas? But more importantly, you'll learn in the book of Matthew about faith. And then something we don't like, you know, you'll find about that too, fear. And then something you do like, forgiveness, humility. Ah, yes, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up higher and higher. Humility, yeah. And mercy. Motives. How many people have motives? Well, you learn about what's going on in there in the book of Matthew about motives. But then I think the most important thing you'll learn about is obedience. And then something that we all like to do, set priorities. The book has a lot of information about priorities. And then, you know, Jesus said we're in the world, not of the world. So in the book of Matthew, then it also talks about rejection. And also in the book, it talks about thoughts. I think we all have thoughts and different thoughts. And, well, you know, it's wonderful to have thoughts. But here's something that's in the book of Matthew that we all deal with, and that's worry. You know, sometimes we worry about something so hard that even if it happened, it couldn't happen, and we just worry ourselves to death. Well, the book of Matthew gives you all of that information. And let me tell you what else it'll do. It'll give you the birth of Jesus. It'll tell you about the wise men and the baby. tells you about Jesus' family escaping to Egypt and then returning. It talks about John the Baptist and the way Jesus was baptized. And it also talks about the temptation from Satan and how Jesus began his ministry with just 4 fishermen that followed him. Here's one that I really like, the Beatitudes. Jesus also teaches many truths to people on a hillside. Jesus calmed the storm and sends demons into a herd of pigs. These are cool stories. And Jesus eats with sinners at Matthew's house. Jesus heals a bleeding woman and restores a girl to life. Oh, the religious leaders, you can find that too. How they criticized Jesus. And the parable of the sower. Jesus told many parables, stories. Heavenly stories with an earthly meaning and an earthly meaning with the heavenly stories. That's what the parable's all about. That's wonderful. And then in Nazareth, how Nazareth rejected Jesus. And then how Herod kills John the Baptist. Oh, that's a crazy story. And then Jesus feeding the 5,000 and walking on the water. Now, Peter says Jesus is and was the Messiah. And the disciples see Jesus' glory, sending demons from a boy. Jesus teaches about humility and temptation and other things. I mean, there's a lot of information in this little book. And about the parable of the unforgiving debtor. Jesus blesses the little children and talks to a rich man. And the parable of the workers that's supposed to be paid equally. And he talks about serving others and healing blind beggars. Jesus entered into Jerusalem on a donkey and clears the temple, chases them all out. The parables of the wicked farmers and the wedding feast. Yeah, cool. Jesus answers questions about paying taxes, and he tells us about the future, and he tells us about the talents that we all have. And Jesus talked about the final judgment. Judas and the other religious leaders plot against Jesus. What a story that is. You know, it's better than any soap opera you've ever seen in the book of Matthew. So it's worthwhile reading, amen? And then we got the Last Supper. And Jesus then is arrested and questioned by Caiaphas. You can however you want to pronounce his name. And then good old Peter, he denied Jesus. And then Jesus is crucified. But here is really the whole thing of a beautiful, beautiful story. You know how we like to sometimes read a book, but we want to start at the end because we want to know how it ends before we start at the beginning. Well, the end in chapters 27 and 28 talks about how Jesus was crucified, buried, and then the third day he rose from the dead, breaking that bondage over sin and death. Wow. And then he was seen by many. And then not only that, but he promised to come back again. That's what we hang on to, the blessed hope. The part that we talk about as the Great Commission at the end of Matthew's Gospel in chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. And then he gave us a mission. Yeah, he gave us a mission. Go, therefore, baptizing in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit to all the nations. And tell them about me and teach them about this wonderful Messiah that you read about in the book of Matthew. And if you just simply want to meet him, all you got to do is say, Lord, I understand you are this Messiah, and I understand you do a lot of things, and I understand you forgive sins, and I want to know you in a personal and loving way. And all you got to do is open your heart and say, Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my life and be Lord over it. And help me and guide me and strengthen me in this thing. And you know what? When you do that, you don't just get him in pieces. You get him all. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And there's more. He's given us eternal life. Because, you know, when we leave this old earth, we're going to go on to eternal life. And where we spend eternal life is up to us. And all you got to do is say, Lord Jesus, I want to spend eternal life with you. I don't want to be a part of that other guy that was tempting you all that time. I want to have eternal life with you. Well, I hope and pray that you know Jesus in a loving way, but the book of Matthew will give you some peace and will give you all kinds of wisdom and grace. So if you're tuning in to The Word is the Way to Life and the Pastor's Thoughts, and next week we'll go to, let's see, what's the book right after Genesis? I should know it, shouldn't I? Yeah, I should. I'm a preacher, you know, and I should know it. But let me see. Oh, yeah. It's Exodus. Wow. I like Exodus. Yeah. There's times that you want to get away from all things, and that's what Exodus is all about. They wanted to get away from the Egyptians. Well, hope and pray you tune in next week to The Word is the Way to Life. Have a wonderful day in Jesus' name.